Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Lights off.
We're ready.
we're here again, coming to you live and in living color right here on your radio dial, WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And as you heard, I've got a guest in here with me already, Linda Hamilton. I start to say Linda Donaldson. I am the world's worst.
You're living in the past, Don. Who is this radio program may not go on. We're both kind of senile.
but we're just tickled to death to be here again, and we're proud of the folks that sponsor this show that make it possible. We're grateful that we have our Clay County Chamber of Commerce, our three-star program that make sure that we make it here to you every Thursday morning at 9 o'clock with the Clay County Corner. We're sitting here in the, I guess this is the old circuit court clerk's office here at the time it, when they closed it down and moved it all down to the new government complex. Of course, a lot of people don't realize it's moved. Sometimes when I'm sitting in here doing a little something behind the desk, someone will come in and want to pay a fine or buy a license, a ticket or something.
And he takes the money and goes.
Well, I'll tell them that I will take cash and for whatever they're trying to pay for, but I don't give any receipts or anything. And if they want a receipt, they probably need to go down to the new government complex to get their receipt. But so far, nobody's donated any money to me. So, but it's great to be here. It's great to be alive in Tennessee another day. We've had just a little share of rain here this morning. We're still not getting any of that Louisiana weather yet to speak of, but I think down around Cookeville and Sparta, they've had a pretty good little storm come through down there this morning. We don't need any storms, but we could stand a little rain, I think. My flowers are kind of getting a little droopy in the afternoon, so maybe we'll get a little bit of rain out of this before the weekend's over. They keep saying it's going to rain all weekend. We'll probably get an official weather forecast here after a while here WVFB. Stay tuned for that, and we'll let everyone know exactly what the weather is going to be doing here in a little bit. But right now, I guess we might ought to close down this banter and slip in a couple of words for our sponsors, and we'll come back. And Linda and I are going to talk about a couple of things. She's actually got a couple of things written down she wants to talk about, and then we may just wander off and talk about
old times. That's the thing we remember.
So we'll be back just in a minute.
Hey, Clay County, Dairy Queen in Salina and Kicks Country want to give away a free ice cream cake. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kicks Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. We're still here. They haven't shut us down yet, but I speak for myself here, and Linda Donaldson Hamilton is here with us this morning, and she's got a couple of serious things. I guess we want to start off with. One is her work and the work of
one I'm very passionate about. A couple of years ago, we were on this radio talking about we were going to start a free meal for people that needed just a place to go and enjoy each other and have a hot meal. And so we didn't really know how we were going to do this, so we enlisted all the churches around to help us at the Methodist Church, and we were going to cook. Very fortunate, we had a man that had moved here from Pennsylvania, and he has been a chef at one time in his lifetime, and he was going to do the cooking for us. So we started out on a very short shoestring budget, but we had, so far we operated in the black. So we started in July of 2015, and that year alone we served 3,011 meals. And then last year, we count from July to July, but since we started our program in July, and last year we served 3,100 meals. Nearly 3,200 meals, and all on donations from area churches, the Catholic Church, Baptist Church, Church of Christ. All the churches in Salina are involved in this, and they're served a hot meal every Tuesday from 11 to 12 at the Salina United Methodist Church. And we have volunteers that serve them. It's very much like a restaurant. You come in and tell them what you want. We tell them what's on the menu, and they tell us what they want, and we serve them and make them kind of feel special. And if you find it in your heart that you want to help donate to a hot meal for somebody that doesn't often have a hot meal, contact anybody, Pat Roberts, Tim Martz, me, or anybody at Methodist Church, and we'd be glad to take your donation. We serve people from housing projects. We serve people from all the churches. We serve people from the offices, and we serve everybody that comes through a free meal. And those that, who can leave a small donation, and those who can't are very welcome. We don't discriminate. We, you know, for everybody that wants to have a good hot meal, and it is very, very good. It's always followed by homemade dessert of some sort.
Who's in charge of the dessert?
We have a twofold program going at church right now. That we do a shoebox ministry for at Christmas time, and Martina Bias bakes. She is a teacher at the Tri-County Vocational, and she bakes, and so the postage for the boxes is very expensive. So she bakes, and you can pay her $5, $10, $15, and she will bake you something. She's from Germany, and she'll bake you an apple strudel that, oh, is out of this world.
That's genuine.
Genuine. It's a German strudel. It really is delicious. And she bakes all kinds of desserts for us. And I told the people at church, if they could not eat her good desserts, that they could buy one and donate it to her Grace. So this summer we have enjoyed Martine's good German cooking. So, but we just have donations for dessert. So anybody that wants to make a cake or something, they come in. Birthdays, we try to celebrate birthdays with, for people that we know was having a birthday. Miss Maria Moreno comes, and we have celebrated her 99th birthday out there, and we're hoping to have a big celebration when she turns 100 next year. So Pat Roberts usually bakes them a big birthday cake, and so we just really have a good time. It's a time of coming together, and a lot of these people don't have anybody to talk to through the week. And you can sit and drink coffee and talk and stay as long as you want to talk to and visit with your neighbors. And this summer we served up, we got up to where we were serving around 80 people because we had a lot of children that came in for a meal. And so we...
So it's a good social...
It's a good social time, and enjoy it, and, you know, fellowship with your... Good club to fellowship with your friends, and oh, we have live music too. We have a lady who comes and brings her keyboard and plays music every day. And she, her name is Miss Virginia Cook, and she happens to be 92 years old. So we are really having it's a good time.
You know, this kind of reminds you of the old you know, outside dinner
on the ground,
Absolutely. That, you know, basically all of the churches around here did that. I don't know.
Right.
I think there's a few that still do that keep that tradition alive.
Right.
I know. I guess most of the
have homecomings and have their dinner on the ground.
Right. And
this is once a week on Tuesday from 11 to 12, and.
Well, do you have a lot of repeat customers?
We have lots of repeat customers. Yes, we do have. We got people that. In fact, now I have gotten to know so many people that if they don't show up, I worry about them, and I get to connecting with them, and they've gotten where they'll say, "Well, I won't be here next Tuesday. I'm going so and so." But you become attached to them, and seeing them every week and hearing about their troubles and their joys, and so it's a good time. So if you want to have something to do on Tuesday, just come out and eat lunch with us. So,
and if you'd like, you've got a little collection box.
Well,
there
you can, but that's not necessary.
But
I've always said the Lord provides, and He does. He provides. But you get low on funds, and somebody will come through and give us a donation. So, anytime if you have an extra cake at home, you want to donate a cake, I will take it.
And you know. You folks have done this, you know, pretty quietly.
Yes, we don't. We just want people to come and enjoy it.
And I know that, as you said, when you have a group of people that you're around, it's amazing how many people, even in a small community like we have, that you have walked by your entire life.
And didn't know.
And then after you say that first howdy, it's a whole new world, isn't it?
It is. And, too, we have lots and lots of people who have moved in here. And, you know, everybody has a story. There's a story behind everything. And my first question is when I find out they're not from Salina, Tennessee. And I get a lot of ribbon about this, you know, in my language from some of them. But why in the world are you in Salina, Tennessee? And as I said, everybody's got a story. And some of them are very, very interesting. Why they're in Salina, why they're doing what they're doing, you know.
Okay, we'll continue with that just in a minute, but I guess we spoke about sponsors a minute ago. We might ought to take a little short break here.
Oh, yeah, got to pay our bills.
Yeah, got to pay the bills for this place, and we are grateful for our sponsors, and we want to remind everyone listening to get out and support these folks. We need to do as much hometown shopping as we can do, and... You know, I know there are certain things you can't find here in Salina, but we have merchants here that have prices that are competitive with any of the big box stores. They don't have as much of everything, but the prices are here. So, you know, shop around at home a little bit and spend your money, as much of it as you can here at home, because we need the money here in the county, too. Couple don't need all of it. I mean, you know, we know they're going to get their part, but... We need to spend some money here, but I guess we need to let them get a word in, and we'll be back just in a minute, and Linda and I may have some other, I know she's got some other things to talk about, so we'll be back just in a second.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to Senior Care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
All right, everybody in the car, let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can.
Should have worn my glasses.
So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Welcome back, everyone. Before we get back to our esteemed guest here today,
yes.
I need to remind everyone about the birthday and anniversary club, where we give away a ice cream cake here each Thursday morning along about the end of the program. We have an answering machine here that you can call, 243-5574. And remember, it is an answering machine, and it won't answer you back, but you need to speak slowly and clearly. And I've noticed some of the folk are taking my advice about repeating names twice, which makes it just a little bit easier to make sure that we get the names correct. And they're doing a real good job of announcing their phone numbers in a strong, clear voice. So if we have to call someone, we can do that. But we've got a few of those names today. And we want to remind everyone that, like I said, the local Salina Dairy Queen, the Grill and Chill folks out there make this possible. Heads up to Tiffany Montgomery and the girls out there that great breakfast if you'll go out there. They'll fix you just about anything you want. They'll fix you eggs sunny side up, or they'll hard cook them, or they'll scramble them. And they'll put together just about any kind of plate of things they've got on those big standardized menus up there. They'll combine all that stuff and nice, reasonable prices and a great atmosphere out there. So make sure you go out and visit those folks. And we'll announce those names here in a few minutes. And then toward the end of the program, we will draw a name out with our sophisticated system here, as the folks sometimes say at some of the other radio stations. I think maybe they have some kind of computer program or something, maybe where they randomly kick the names out. But we've got a pot we draw ours out of, so which is highly sophisticated. Linda, I know you've got something else coming up here.
Oh, yes. As you can tell from Thomas and myself, that we're not the youngest things in the world. My class has got, of course, he is a little bit younger than I am, not much. My class has got a reunion coming up Labor Day weekend, September the 3rd. We're going to meet at the Mexican restaurant at 11 o'clock for our 58th reunion. And we were the class of 58. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody at this reunion. Several of us are still living, and some of us are not in the best of health, but most of us are pretty healthy people. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody Labor Day weekend for our class reunion.
I believe I was a seventh grader long about then.
Was you a seventh grader then? Well,
and I remember, Lyndon, all those girls on that basketball team then, they had these bright red jackets.
Right.
Of course, our colors were black and gold, and we all knew that. But they had these bright red jackets, and if you read the back of it, it said Livingston Invitational Tournament Champions. And I think I know they were extremely proud of that. I guess Coach John Teeples was
their coach. Yes, at that time that was the tournament to enter at Christmas time. In fact, I don't know whether there was other tournaments around or not.
I know there was a district tournament. May have been as far as the girls went there for a little while. I don't know if we had a state tournament some of those
years.
No,
we didn't have a state tournament when I was in high school. No,
I think they discontinued it for some years or something.
Yes, they did. They had a regional, and then they.
They
stopped at the region. If you won the region, you were pretty good.
Well, I know over the years that I coached, I got to know some of the officials. A fellow named Gabby Street, who was really he wound up officiating a lot of college games and stuff, and he used to tell about coming up to Salina to officiate the Livingston Invitational Tournament, and he lived in Manchester, and we're
right.
Talking about 1950. Driving from Manchester in the 1950s up to Livingston to referee a basketball tournament. That's how big it was.
It was a big tournament. It had lots of schools represented. It's been yes, we did.
And they were. I know they wore those jackets all summer.
Oh, we did. I don't know whatever happened about it. I probably wore it out. I'm sure.
But I know that.
And why they were bright red, I don't know. But they were bright red with a big, big white basketball on the back of it.
Do you remember? I guess you remember all your teammates of that much, don't you?
Oh yes, I remember most of them. And we went on to Tech. They didn't have a college basketball at that time. We went on to Tech, and there was a group of us that went to Tech, and we had intramurals and. Our team was intramural champs at that time, so we did enjoy. Of course, we were playing with some girls from Jamestown and Birdstown. And
well, those are people you played against.
Yeah, played against, but we all got together and played together. Loretta Rich was one of the best set shots. Of course, at that time it was three on one end and three on the other end, and she was one of the best set shot shooters that I have ever seen, and she would average maybe 40 points a night. That was before the three-point range too, so she was really, really good.
I can remember that the picture that was in, like I said, I wasn't very old, but I do remember that picture in the Nashville, Tennessean,
yes.
Where she they showed her shooting one of those two-hand set shots
about
the center line, and I think it may be like her 48th or 50th point or something.
Yeah, something
night.
Like that. Yes.
And I think Loretta credited the young boys in this town. They used to gather up at Mr. Fox's house
and play up there.
And play out there. And she had to shoot from such a far distance away that there was a big limb that hung out across the driveway, and she had to shoot over the limb to get to the basket.
The thing that is, if it came out on her, she was so fast she'd go around you and shoot, so that there was no stopping her, really. She was quite a player.
And I know a number of the members of that team are in the Clay County Sports Hall of Fame.
They are.
Quite a few of them are. And like I said, It's nice to have someone that still remembers those things. And Linda will sit and talk to you about these things if you catch her sometime.
Oh, that's right.
Another thing, Linda, I wanted to talk to you about a little bit, and that is your family. I know the Donaldson family, I think most, I don't know how many siblings for sure you have, but I think most that we're talking about in the late 40s and early 50s, boys and girls both, went on to college.
Right. There was five of us, and five of my brothers and sisters. So there's only two of us left, me and my brother in Cookville, Lonnie. And out of the five of us, three of us went on and finished college, yes. Uh-huh.
What instilled that in you and your brothers?
I don't know. Mom and Daddy, I'm sure they did. And really, we had some mentors. Grady Sidwell and his wife, Miss Sue Sidwell and Paula Sidwell, were very instrumental in seeing that we did what we were supposed to do and had a way to go and get there. But, yes, we did. It was just, our mom and daddy didn't have much of an education, but they sure did instill in us that we needed to go on and graduate. And so I think we just recently had a group. We met at my brother's house in Cookville, and I think sitting around looking at everybody, there was 8 or 10 school teachers there. I don't know why we were all decided we were going to be school teachers. Lots of school teachers in my family. So.
I know. Well, all of you didn't. I think some of you maybe worked in the agricultural area.
Agriculture, either that or extension service, right. But we were brought up in a generation where you said yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. And it was just something that's kind of going by the wayside, but it was instilled in us that we had to give our best to everybody.
And I know as far as history of, especially the girls' basketball in Clay County, that I know Linda is, if you can get her started, don't she is a virtual encyclopedia because she did play, and then I don't know, Linda, when did you come back and start keeping the score?
I came back. I left in 58 and came back in 60. Then you could start teaching with a two-year college. And I came back in 60 and started teaching, and I kept score for the boys and girls basketball team after I started. That's when you had an official score, and it had to be a teacher or somebody of that caliber that kept score, and I kept score for both boys and girls basketball for 10 years or longer until I got married and started a family of my own. And then I had a son that thought if it didn't bounce or kick or you couldn't hit it with a bat, it wasn't happening. So I've been involved in sports all my life, and I look back on all the years of the sports here in Clay County, and we've had some really great athletes that have gone through. And I can see, I can watch, I have a grandson playing now, and I can see there is a multitude of talent that's coming up. So I think the sports in Clay County is going to be extremely, extremely great in the next several years.
Well, Linda, I think it's time for us to take another break, and I guess...
It's time for me to break.
Well, okay. So you think you've talked enough?
I've talked enough, then.
One thing, I think you were the scorekeeper back when we had Tammy and then those
Tammy
girls.
Tammy and then...
That was about the time you finished.
And
Tammy.
Your brothers, too. I think you were a little bit gone by that time.
Yeah, my older brother. I think maybe that may have been the last year that you kept score when my older brother was a senior, with Goose Abney and some of those.
I remember your younger one, too.
Danny?
I remember Danny.
Okay, I was ahead of him.
You're ahead of him.
I guess I just didn't stand out. That's what it was.
You weren't great. I take that back.
Well, okay, we need to take a little short break. Linda, it's a pleasure as always to have you here.
It's good to be here.
It's good to be anywhere.
It is. At this age, it's good to be anywhere. Yes.
All right, we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back. We've got Coach Brown from the CCHS Bulldogs coming in. He's going to give us a little rundown on the football game coming up this weekend, season opener, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
You should be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the ring cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat food.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Hey, Clay County. Dairy Queen in Salina and Kix Country want to give away a free ice cream. That's right. You can win a delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina for a friend or a loved one having a birthday or anniversary. And all you have to do is call 243-5574. Call 243-5574, speak clearly, leave the name of the person having a birthday or anniversary, and the date of the birthday or anniversary. Please leave your name and number so we can call you back if we have any trouble understanding your message. Then, every Thursday between 9 and 10 a.m. on the Clay County Corner, we'll read all of the birthdays and anniversaries collected that week. We will then, at random, pull out the name that will receive that delicious ice cream cake from Dairy Queen in Salina. That number again is 243-5574. Write it down. 243-5574 to win an ice cream cake from Kix Country and Dairy Queen in Salina.
Recycling means to use something again. Newspapers can be used to make new newspapers. Aluminum cans can be used to make new aluminum cans. Glass jars can be used to make new glass jars. Recycling often saves energy and natural resources. It almost always takes less energy to make a product from recycled materials than it does to make it from new materials. Don't forget to add up the savings and be energy wise.
Welcome back, everyone. We are back. I guess I need to start off, before we let our guests talk about football a little bit, is to give you the list of folks that are celebrating this week, celebrating either a birthday or an important date in their lives, that is their wedding anniversaries. And we have, looks like about 9 or 10 folks on the list this morning. We have Silas Key. He's turning 3 years old, turned 3 years old this week. Wendy Copas, who is a teacher down at Hermiston Springs. John Denton, the principal down there, looks like John's mom and dad celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary this past week. So looks like a lot of cake and ice cream going on in the Denton family, even if they don't win the cake out here. And also out in that area, Tina and Jackie Jenkins celebrated a wedding anniversary. And also I'd like to wish a happy 57th wedding anniversary to this couple. I don't know where we consider them. I guess we still consider them Clay County residents. They're in and out of here all the time off of P. Ridge. That's Benny and Gail Stevens. I know he is a minister that travels around, teaches a program called Fishers of Men all over the South and Southeast. And they're celebrating their 57th wedding anniversary. And also, he was a member of the 1950 Salina High School class. And I think they're having their, I guess, from 1950 to 2000, that's about 66 years of a reunion. And I think it's also on September the 3rd, the same day that Linda and her group are celebrating their graduation. Also, Preston Barlow celebrated a birthday this past week. Talissa Fields, I think it's her mother called in to wish her a happy birthday from her family, her grandparents, brothers, sisters, cousins, just said everybody in the family is wishing her a happy birthday. And Thomas Nathaniel Dulworth, Brandy Dulworth called that one in and to wish a happy birthday. And also Bree McLaren, her grandma called that one in. So we want to wish all these folks a very, very happy celebration of their day in this past week. And remind everyone to be eligible for the cake drawing. You need to call us in here at the radio station at 243-5574, and you'll get an answering machine. and speak slowly, clearly, and it's a good idea to pronounce the name twice. Sometimes my hearing's not the best ever was, and some folks get excited sometimes when they get that answering machine, and they start trying to talk just as soon as that thing kicks on, and a lot of times it'll clip a little bit of the first name. But so if you'll mention that name twice while you're talking to that machine, you will have a good chance of getting your name in the drawing for the birthday cake here. Let's see, we've got another class reunion. Class of 71 is celebrating here in a couple of weeks. So remind everyone of that. And another, our 9/11 program here around the square where we remember that day of the 9/11 attack, and with all of our first responder volunteers gather here around the square and drive their vehicles around the square and park them, and folks come out and sit up in the seats, and the firemen show them what's going on. Sometimes they have the jaws of life here, just have a big day on that Sunday afternoon. And let's see, I guess it's Master Sergeant Terry Scott, who is a local young man. He is now, official position is, I think he is right under the Adjutant General for the Tennessee National Guard all over the state of Tennessee and part of Alabama. And he's going to be our principal speaker that day, and we'll also have a number of local politicians, state politicians, and sometimes someone on the national level drops by. But this is on a Sunday afternoon, and it's a great program, and we finish that program off along about dusk when Craig Overtree finishes singing God Bless America. Then all those folks turn on all their lights and sirens at one time around this square, and we make a great big noise, and everyone knows that we're remembering that day. Well, Coach, now that I've got through all of the housekeeping, it's time for you to talk about some housekeeping maybe and some new beginnings with football season coming up this week. And looks like that Louisiana weather just keeps kind of skirting us, doesn't it? Maybe it'll stay away for us.
It's missed us up to this point. We're getting a little bit out there. But I'm sure we'll get some between now and tomorrow night. Of course, tomorrow night's the first kickoff. 7 o'clock with Jackson County, a big rivalry. Freshmen and sophomores, 9 juniors and a senior on the team. So we're still very, very young. But we started a lot of those guys last year, and they took their lumps. And, you know, they're a year older and a year bigger and stronger. So, you know, we feel like we'll be a little more competitive this year.
And I know I had Jason Hamilton on last week, and he was talking about our junior pro program here, how they went undefeated last year with all 3 classes, and that said all the way down about the 7th or 8th grade, and if we can get us about 12 or 15 out of every class out of that bunch.
Well, they've done a really good job, the youth group, and the middle school, you know, the K-8 right now, they're starting to have a lot of success with those kids coming up through from the youth program. You know, high school, we've suffered a little bit the last few years because of really small numbers in the graduating classes, but the numbers have swelled up a little bit, so we've seen, you know, my first year when I came back in 14, we only had 14 kids in the weight room. And we played that fall with, I think, maybe 20%. And then last year our numbers went up to about 24 to 26. This year we're at 30 with only 1 senior. So, you know, we see the program growing, and it goes back to the hard work and everything the youth groups have been doing, sending us players ready to play.
I know that's a couple of those kids. I'm familiar with their names. I served a little 2-year term down there with basketball and got to know a lot of these kids by just being down there, not all day every day, but just a little while. And I know outstanding young man, Seth Mackey. I do remember Seth down there at that time. It looked like he's developing into a good...
Seth got trial by fire last year. You know, we had our quarterback transfer out at the beginning of the season. So Seth stepped in as a sophomore last year and did a really good job under the circumstances that we had. I threw for 1,400 yards, which is I think he was in 30 or 40 yards of the school record as a sophomore. So, you know, he's got another year's growth on him. Problem we're going to have this year is we don't have that 6'5" kid to throw to like we had last year. You know, he's over Cumberland right now, why it is. You know, they're happy to have him over there, and we'd like to have him back. But, you know, we'll find other folks to get the ball to.
That's the thing about it. You just don't get to keep them forever.
You don't get to keep them forever, and I've been doing this long enough, and I know you've been around in sports long enough that after 4 years, you're pretty much ready for them to move on and cycle on through and ready to go and let them get on with their lives. You know, it's just, that's what makes high school sports so fun. You just don't know what hand you're going to get dealt, and, you know, you got to do the best you can with it.
You know, private school, Class A, football, basketball, or whatever, you know, we don't have that luxury. Well, most of us don't have that luxury of going out and finding that one key player that, if you can get them to move in or, you know, you're grinning.
We know of a few of the single A schools in the area right here that had good factories in the area at the time. And would bring a lot of folks in. You know, those dads would get those jobs about the time that kid was ready to come in as a freshman in high school to play and really develop their programs. And, you know, right now, unfortunately, you know, with the way the economy's been for the last 15, 20 years, you know, these factories have left the small towns and you know, it's really put a hurt on everybody.
Okay, something I don't know, away from just football itself, I know we've had this argument going on for years and years about, you know, the public-private schools competing against each other for championships. Has there been any change in that? You know, since I'm not around it as much as I once was.
Well, right now, and a lot of people misunderstand the recruiting that goes on. You know, there's recruiting that goes on by everybody. There's public schools that recruit just as hard as the private schools do. We all know that. And everybody thinks they're out there recruiting the best athletes. But the biggest difference between private schools and public schools is those private schools can turn kids away. They don't have special ed programs. They don't have discipline problems in the building and things. They can handpick the kids, and it's not the three or four elite athletes that they may have. It's that the rest of their kids are you know, going to go to college, and you know, and they're dealing with a little different kid than we are. And I love the small school atmosphere, and you know, having to play with what you got, you know, it makes it a lot of fun. But we have to deal with a lot more issues at the personal level of these kids than some of the private schools do.
You know, I always said, you know, if you have to make a promise to a 10 or 15 year old kid to win a state championship, it really can't mean that much to you.
Right, it can't. And again, it's hard for me to fathom. And we've got some folks in this area, Upper Cumberland, that recruit as hard as anybody. We all know that. But as a fan, it would be hard to cheer for kids that I didn't watch grow up. We here at Salina, everybody wants to cheer for the Salina kids because they've seen them come up all the way through the youth groups.
And that's, you know, if I know when you travel to some of these private schools, I know, I think our girls went down to, Good Pasture last year in the regional tournament, and we had probably twice as many fans in the stands as they did because most of the parents of those kids, I mean, they're, you know, they take them there and they set them out and they don't necessarily support the athletics with their bodies, do they?
Well, it's not a community.
No.
It's not built around a community. It's built around the school is the community, and here the community, the school is part of the community. It makes a big difference.
You know, that's the fun part of it. When you, like you said, when you watch a kid, and I know as a coach, part of the job is being able to recognize down about the fourth or fifth grade, that kid maybe is going to be your starting quarterback by the time he's a sophomore.
If we can keep him out, yes.
Right.
That's one thing that people don't understand too much. You know, they'll see these kids coming up through the youth group. The problem we have at the high school level, you know, when they start hitting 14 and 15 and 16, you know, when you start mixing cars and girls into the mix, you know, suddenly football's not a priority, and it's a hard struggle sometimes to keep kids out when they get those driver's license and they need to get that part-time job to pay for the cars because parents can't afford to do it, and those little girlfriends need birthday present things, and it's just, you know, it's a struggle to keep them all together.
You know, I used to tell folks that, you know, that's the difference between the teams that win the championships and the ones that don't, is that, you know, they've all got the cars and the girlfriends, but the ones that win, they drive their cars to practice.
we were having a good laugh about that the other day. We looked up in our parking lot. We had 30 kids out on the practice field after school, and we looked up, and there's two cars sitting in the parking lot because none of our kids got driver's license. They're not old enough to drive.
At least you can hold their attention a little longer.
Well, we can hold their attention a little longer, and mom and dad's making sure they're getting back to practice. And, you know, and again, we worry about keeping them all together because, you know, when they start getting these driver's licenses, you know, they'll start wandering a little bit on us.
Well, you know, and Coach, that had also we talked about, you know, the loss of the factories and the things. That actually affected the athletic program in a way that I guess a lot of people never thought of, but being a member of that time. I know when I was in school, our athletic programs, they started practicing at 2:00 in the afternoon. And the coaches, they would try to get through with just about everything they need to do by about 15 minutes till 4:00. And that would give us a chance to get downtown and catch us a ride with the folks working at the factory to get home.
Right.
And it allowed a lot of us, and I don't know whether you were in that situation or not, but a lot of us where we could play sports because we didn't, we didn't own cars, didn't have cars, and our parents usually worked till about dark, so they couldn't come get us. And it provided transportation for the kids. A lot of the kids that lived up in the Maple Grove area,
right.
I know that there was a few people that worked here at Oshkosh, and if they didn't catch them at 4:00, it was a long walk up there trying to hitchhike up there in the afternoon.
Well, it wasn't any different in Jamestown where I grew up. We had the industries and the shirt factory and the chicken plant up there. Those were the three big main ones. And you're right. You know, we started practice the last period of school. And got finished up right around 4:00 because that's when they let out, and there'd be a bunch of us standing there at the road hoping to catch a ride on through, and you know, you got out and the folks knew to look for you.
And you know, it also was something on that line. It made those folks that give you a ride home know that they were a part of any success that happened because, you know, they were responsible for making part of that happen.
Right.
Well, Coach, let's take a little short break and we'll come back and maybe let's get back on this year's football.
Okay.
I'm bad about wandering people off. But we'll be back just in a minute with Coach Dickie Brown, and we'll try to focus in on what's coming up this weekend here against our old enemy, Jackson County. We don't like them in any sport, do we?
Well, they don't seem to.
We'll take a short break, and we'll be back just in a minute.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
You're going to need me. You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise, we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
As we grow older, aging can present emotional and behavioral problems that often go undetected or ignored. But this is not a part of the normal aging process. Senior Care Unit, located at Cumberland River Hospital in Salina, Tennessee, is devoted to helping older adults and their families deal with these changes. The Senior Care Unit provides a comprehensive approach with a highly skilled staff to pave the way for coping with these difficulties. Referrals to senior care can come from anyone at any time. Don't suffer alone. Senior Care is there to help your family when you need them most. For more information or to make a referral, please call 1-800-777-8553 or 931-243-5265.
All right, everybody in the car. Let's go.
What are we going to do first when we get there, Mom? Go for a hike?
Sure.
What about canoeing? Can we go canoeing, too?
I don't see why.
How long does it take to get to the forest?
It's not that far, sweetie.
Are we there yet?
Yep, we're here.
Already?
It's a short drive from your neighborhood to your naturehood. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a neighborhood park or green space near you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Well, we're back again, Coach. We've got a few minutes left according to the old clock on the wall over here. But coming up this, I know you've got some names that you want to talk about a little bit and what to expect. So let's kind of focus on what's coming up here on Friday night.
We'll focus on Friday night. I think the kids are excited about the season. They know they're a little stronger and they know they're a little older. Feel like they'll be more competitive with a lot of the folks on the schedule. You know, we still have the private schools on there with Nashville Christian, who's the defending state champion, who's had three kids sign Division I scholarships last year and got a couple more this year. And you've got Middle Tennessee Christian on the schedule, along with Trousdale and Joe Burns. And, you know, so the schedule's probably as tough a schedule as they've ever had here.
That's four big names.
That's four huge names. And like I said, we just don't see the elite talent that Nashville Christian brings in. I mean, it's just hard for us to prepare and get ready for something like that. But like I said, the kids are excited about it. You know, right now, I think we'll be a little better defensively, again, because we're a little older. This year, I think we're going to be starting six juniors and five sophomores, or five sophomores and six juniors on defense. So we're still got some youth out there on that side of the ball. Offensively, I think it's five juniors, five sophomores, and a freshman. So, you know, we're still got some youth there.
It's good to hear a freshman name, and I know it's not necessarily good for you, but we know that. That guy's going to be a leader for about 4 years.
Well, we hope
one of these days, and hopefully.
Well, we hope so. And like I said, he's got the background for it. You know, it's Will Ogletree. You know, he's played. And Ogletree's been a popular name here in athletics at Clay County. And like I said, we're expecting Will to fall right in the footsteps there and be just a solid player, hopefully, basketball and football.
I guess one of the names that Linda mentioned a minute ago, you may not, but Loretta Rich, who is probably the greatest female basketball player on offense to ever play here, I guess was his great-great aunt. How about that?
No, like I said, there's some athleticism in the bloodline. Because Will's going to be a good one. But, you know, he's a freshman starting in the backfield in high school level. And, you know, he's going to take his lumps, just like some of the boys did last year.
He's a tough little kid. I know that.
He's tough. Or he wouldn't be out there if he wouldn't be tough. But, you know, like I said, he'll get his fair share of carries. But right now we're still going to be very, very young off our skill positions. Our one of our top two receivers, Jalen Hoff, is a sophomore. We've got Jared Markham, who's our tailback. He's a sophomore. You know, we've got Hayden Cherry, who's going to be playing tight end for us. He's a sophomore. And Matt Jacoby's going to be our other receiver as a junior. So, you know, right there we got a freshman, three sophomores, and a junior that's going to be, you know, the main focus of our offensive attack.
Well, you know, they, like you said, if you keep them healthy, you know, you don't have that depth chart where you can, if someone gets hurt, that you just plug somebody else in.
Well, the depth's a little better this year than it was last year and the year before, and that's one of the things that we're most pleased with. We've been doing a lot of rotations through. We didn't get to scrimmage as much as we wanted to this year. We had some folks cancel on us, but we scrimmaged some bigger folks. You know, we went over to play 5A White County and 3A Bledsoe County, and, you know, we were out size by them, but we were able to get all our kids rotated through and get them a lot of playing time, so we're trying to develop some depth. And for the first time since I've been here, we've got some competition for positions. You know, we don't have that solid, you know, these guys are the older guys that are going to be starters. You know, we've got three or four positions, especially in our offensive line, where there's competition, and they're getting better because they're fighting for playing time rather than knowing they've got it wrapped up like they've had in the past.
That it's always great, you know, if you can't get confident and kind of hit up where you kind of coast a little bit and not put that effort into
it. Right.
If there's somebody there just nipping at your heels, you're going to stay a little bit more alert, aren't you?
Well, that's if you've got 50 or 60 kids on your roster and you've got two or three deep at each position like some of the bigger schools do, like, you know, Livingston and York and Upperman and some of the AAA teams and 4A teams in the area who've got 800 to 1,000 kids in. You know,
what is our enrollment this year? I think it's about time for that official report, isn't it?
I don't know exactly what the official number is. I think we're sitting somewhere around 280. I think. Don't hold me to that because, like I said, I'm not really up in the office enough to know. But I think we're below 300.
That makes us one of the smaller. We're still that. Are we number two single A or number one?
Well, we're single A, and we're probably in the bottom half of the numbers in single A football.
Now
TSSAA, this year finally they've come to their senses a little bit. And they voted to go ahead and classify everybody, six classes across the board, divided evenly. You know, last year they put the biggest 32 teams in the upper division, and single A sitting down here with nearly 60 teams. And that's just not fair.
And they were automatically putting all those folks in. Right.
Right. Those guys were automatically getting the playoff spots, so you had an 0-10 6A team getting the playoffs. And we had a pretty good 6-4 team out of our region last year that didn't make it because, only four of us got to go. So this year they've reclassified, and I know that Nashville Christian and Middle Tennessee Christian have both decided to go Division Two, which is the private school league. So we're going to lose both those guys out, and with the reclassification, I think right now it's looking there's going to be between 48 and 50 teams in each classification. So that's going to put us in a district or region with about six to eight teams, and with no private schools in there. We should be more competitive next year with the schedule we'll get.
I guess in our district, I guess we have more students than Byrdstown, Pickett County.
We probably have more than Pickett County, and that's it.
And that's...
Well, Red Bull.
I know we've got
Red Bull.
Monterey's probably... They may be getting up...
Monterey's probably pushing... Well, they're pushing to a... it depends on how the numbers come out. And I know that Watertown and Gordonsville and Trousdale are all on the borderline of moving up a classification. So it depends on how the numbers will be turned in, I think, sometime in September. You based on the first 20 days of the school year. I think the TSSAA, it's a great idea by them basing it on the money, the numbers turned into the state for the BEP money. Because most folks, they'd love to cheat on those numbers, but they've got to have the BEP money and they've got to have the government funding so that, they've got to turn in true numbers so you get an accurate count.
Them IBM machines have kind of cut out that, where you sent in that kind of cheated, not fudged a little bit.
Well, like I said, you can appeal your enrollment, but it usually doesn't work. But anyway, next year we're looking at maybe having 9 or 10 seniors if they all stick with us, and 10 or 12 juniors, which would be for Clay County would be an outstanding number. The K-8, if we get those 7 or 8 kids sent up here who's 8th graders right there, we're looking at maybe a number of around 40 next year with all 11 starters back with a new classification. So next year's going to be an exciting year for us. But, we're playing football this year, and these kids right here are going to get out, and they're excited about it. And like I said, I think we're going to have a good crowd tomorrow night, and I think it's going to be a great game.
I know, reading the article in this week's Del Hall Horizon, that you singled out on defense one name that I'm familiar with. I know his brother played last year. And that's Maxfield?
Dylan, yep. Dylan has been, he's one of the kids that's been trial by fire. He got through in there as a freshman. Of course, makes him a coach. He's a coach's son, which makes him, he's been around football a little more than some of the other kids. So, we feel like that he's going to be our defensive leader and maybe the offensive leader. But, he's definitely stepped up, and he's going to be a strong player for us.
Okay, Coach, they said we've got just a few minutes left, and I've got to give away a birthday cake here.
Okay.
The winner of this week's birthday cake is Preston Barlow. I think Preston works out at the nursing home, I believe. So he's won a cake, and Preston, I know someone out there at the nursing home's listening. If you're not, they'll tell you, and you'll need to go by the Clay County Chamber and pick up a certificate, and you can pick up your cake then there at the Grill and Chill here in Salina. And I think we're just about to, according to the old clock on the wall, we're about to run out of time here, and may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet again, and hopefully we'll meet right here at this same time next week. On your radio dial at WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country, and good day.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.